So that time you're gone, arastu rabbikum, and Rumi will say, listen, we have the choice. The rest, they don't have the choice. They know it. Whenever he says, arastu rabbikum, everybody will say, oh yes! And that's how they come to be. When it comes to us, we should understand it. That's the hardest question. Okay. And that hardest question, why should I learn that hard question? Why should I notice it? He says, because it feels good. It tastes good, period. He is telling me that we are connected. Imagine me, a normal human being, walking. The most beautiful of the beauties will tell me, I'm attracted to you. What will happen to me? That's what it is. That alastu barabbikum and that, isn't it that I am your God? That feels good to me, first of all. I taste it. Every moment will always carry this question because it's that beautiful. When he says, isn't it that I created you? Means what? It will remind me of our connection. Beautiful. I don't need even to answer and do all of that. The meaning is here. Honestly, this was the best someone did for me when I was very young, extremely. He talked about this alastura, this connection, and in a bizarre way made me feel it that, yes, when something is just, I feel good. When something is unjust, I don't feel good. When I hear about some just happening somewhere, I'm happy. It has nothing to do with me. When I hear about some injustice, I feel bad. Then he brought in all these different dimension and meaning of how, and made me as a child understand that I have a very good feeling about Haq. Somehow, I have that good feeling. And I was a child, and he explained me that, okay, why you have this attraction in you? I said, I don't know. I said, don't you think that this attraction is really calling you? It's in you. So the source of that is what we were talking about, Haq. You are attracted to Haq because he is pulling you, he is grabbing you. And that was a very good feeling in childhood for me to understand that. Look inside you, somehow, some part of you is always asking for Haq. That's the source of your prayer. That's where you should always focus on. Because it's a very good feeling when you feel, when inside of you, you feel that, yes, I'm an honest fellow and I like honesty. All this good stuff are positive for me. So, I'm not completely wrong. Oh, I'm doing well. And when you realize that I'm not doing it, it is done to me. It's out of my control. I sit down, I'm sitting down in a bus, okay? And the people are talking. When one of them will attack another one, I feel bad. When somebody will help another fellow, I feel good. That's happening in me. I admired that source. I started to like the source, which in that time for me was only in the word hap. I didn't understand the beauty yet. That's what all this talking is all about, to understand that when we talk about the prayer, we say the prayer is locked to acceptance. He said, I accept there you pray. When you pray, he is provoking you to pray. Therefore, you're lucky when you're praying. You're not a miserable fellow asking for something. You are in a good situation. You feel good and that fantastic stuff and all that. These are all the outcome which we are not going to finish tonight. You see that it's a very long stuff. Because the conclusion of this precise fellow, remember the name of the guy is Daoghi. He created that word. Means Mr. Precision. Mr. Precision was looking at the details. So one detail ruined everything. It's like everything else. If you are looking at the details, all of them, they're not alike. They're different, this or that and that and that. It's not about that. Prayer is not about wanting something, needing something. None of that. Prayer is to provoke you to kill your ego. That's the outcome, without even knowing it. You know what? If you really admire the beauty, you cannot be arrogant. You could not become arrogant. Because a part of arrogance is to feel that I'm the most beautiful one. And when you see the beauty, you let go of that stupid face you see in the mirror. See the beauty out there. And you will understand it's not the physique. Now, you could even close your eyes, think about one of the people that you love the best in your life. And I will ask you, how does the fellow look like? To you, beautiful. Right or wrong? Does a fantastic fellow you love looks ugly to you? First of all, if that fellow will ask you, how do I look like? You know what you will do? You will say, you don't look at the face. You go like that because you think about the personality you have in your mind. That's the beauty. Rumi is beautiful to me. Not because he had the fantastic up nose and he put some, I don't know, stuff here and made the surgery. Because his presence is beautiful. The essence is. But this eye, the logical fellow, is looking at the form. What is the form? Ever-changing stuff. We are talking about the feeling of the beauty inside us. The attraction we find towards beauty. This is something you cannot deny, right? And we are not here to prove it. It's not provable. Common sense will let you know there is state of beautiful mind which looks at the essence of the stuff. For example, I'm looking at somebody running naked, barefoot in the snow. What should I see? This is a guy, a sportsman, who is trying to improve himself. And it's beautiful. Period. Not because there is a use, not because it's related to me. This is why the cow should die. If not, everything is related to me. Oh, that me. Yes?
So that they do not rebel in tribulation or shrink from the command.
I'm sorry, let me correct something in the last verse. It's translated even as the delicious savor of the cry, "I'm not I, your Lord." This delicious stuff is a little bit exaggerated here, because the word in Persian or Arabic is zawq. Zawq means the attraction, the enthusiasm, and things like that, but mainly means taste. And this is something that you should develop the taste for it. He says, you know what? The taste of that, "Am I not your God?" is always in the heart of a mu'min. The taste of it. That's what it is. Yes?
"So that they do not rebel in the tribulation or shrink from the commands and prohibitions of God. The rose conserve, digest the morsel, that is, the decree which bestows bitterness."
This is something that is happening even now. In the time of Rumi, normally the antidote for stuff is not very tasty. Whatever they gather from the root of this plant or the leaf of that plant is tasteless or bad. So they add a lot of honey and sugar to it to make it chewable or eatable. Like they do now, you buy a vitamin, they will give you a vitamin chewable with the orange stuff in it and things like that. Here, he will bring it in a different way of explaining it. He will say, isn't it that sweet stuff? And that sweet stuff in Persian is gul, shekar. Shekar means sugar, gul means flour. The flour sugar. Isn't it that will make all that nasty stuff eatable somehow? Then he will ask the question, but what?
"But he that does not rely upon the rose conserve vomits the morsel in disgust."
If you don't pay attention and rely on the sweetness, the bad stuff you eat, you have to vomit it. You cannot take it in, really. Yes?
"Anyone who has dreamed of the day of Alast is drunken in the path of devotional works, drunken."
So it's enough for you to dream about that. Let's go back. Do you remember what the dream is to us? Dream is when your brain is shut down. Remember our king? Book 1, second paragraph, right? That was the dream. Here we say if you have that dream in your heart, you're always drunk. What is that dream? Remember, from all the different sayings of God, he will choose this one, which is a simple question, even silly. And it has nothing to do with the Godship and the humanity and all of this. It's a simple question. "Am I not your God?" Means what? Means you silly, you forgot. I'm your God. What's better than that my beloved will tell me, "You are my lover"? Isn't that enough for me? He will see it that way. He will say, this is the dream that you should have. Means, out of your brain, have some way of thinking. And in that, remember that you are connected. Could you show me the joint between me and the creator of the universe? Let go of that beautiful meaning of have and all that. Let's talk about the creator. Is there a joint? Is it? This is my reading glass. It's always with me, it's a part of me, right? Imagine that I created this. it's more mine, and